Thank you for joining me again today. And as you know, if you were here yesterday, we're going to be talking together about confidence in the coming days. I submit to you that God is our confidence. And last time I began with some introductory comments, which I will continue today. So let me just remind you of the two main points that I raised thus far. First, I defined what I mean by the word confidence this way. Confidence is reliance on Jesus Christ. Confidence is reliance on Jesus Christ. That's how I see confidence. Second, by confidence, I do not mean self-confidence, which is really only pride. I see self-confidence, which is relying on oneself as the source of confidence, to really be pride. But I do not believe that any of us can generate confidence for ourselves, especially such that God would bless it, accept it, and use it for His honor in our lives. God does not want us to come to Him in our pride and ask for more confidence. Rather, God resists the proud and He seeks the humble. He seeks the person who says, "I have nothing within myself that gives me confidence, but I trust in Jesus to make me a confident, not prideful man or woman." I can promise you this, if you come to our study humbly and really desire God Himself to build confidence within you, you will be a confident person. But if you think of all that I want to share with you as some sort of self-help, then it's not going to work for you because that is not how God works. If you resist Christ, then God still has some work to do in your life of humbling you, yes, even humiliating you. This is in order that He may first convict you of the sin of pride and cast you face down before the Lord Jesus. When you treat Jesus Christ the way He deserves to be treated, as master, ruler, and king, then you'll be a far more confident person because the source of your confidence is Christ. And let me just add this here. Just because I will focus on God confidence versus self-confidence, that doesn't mean I won't address how to act confident, speak confidently, think confidently, and the like. I will address these because Jesus teaches His disciples how to do these things. Jesus talks about how to live confident lives, so stick with me. Come back to God Is day after day, and you will pick up some practical skills from Jesus on how to live a more confident life. But I have a desire to teach this in such a way that none of us, myself included, use this as a way to boost the pride that already swells up within so many of us. I hope this is clear as we begin. Now, still by way of introduction, there's a text in the Bible that I want to introduce you to today. It's in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bible handy, you can turn there now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'll begin at verse 4. This is the Apostle Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, recorded in the Scripture, and here he writes, quote, "Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God." And I'll stop the reading there. This is the words of Paul the Apostle to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 4 through 5. And I read that from the New American Standard Bible. As always, let me say something now about the broader context in which these verses are written. Paul, as he is very often doing, is dealing with false teachers in the city of Corinth. The false teachers, that is, those who corrupted the meaning of the gospel to suit their purposes, are constantly doing battle with Paul. And here in Corinth, they were accusing him of being incompetent. They say that Paul is inept or inadequate as an apostle. They question his credibility and competency. If you read the verses prior to this, you will even read about how the false teachers had letters, likely forged or fake documents, by the way, that they say came from the church in Jerusalem to commend them to the church at Corinth. So the false teachers were very tactical on how they went about attacking the apostle Paul. That would be like today when someone comes to you and wants to prove themselves credible. So they bring with them some letters of commendation to say, "See, this is why you should believe what I have to say. I have these supporting documents." For example, someone might say, I have this degree, this doctorate from such and such a university. Therefore, listen to me. I am competent. I am adequate. I am confident. And these letters will tell you why. By the way, this is common today. So-and-so went to Harvard or MIT or Yale. Oh, wow. We should all be so wowed. As so many of us have learned, just because someone has a degree or a letter telling us how competent they are or uses it to support how confident they are does not mean they're very competent or confident after all. Right? Hasn't that also been your experience? Anyway, this is the context of what Paul writes in verses 4 and 5, and notice how he begins. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. So Paul is now going to speak about the nature of his confidence. And note this now. Notice in your Bible how Paul mentions immediately in the same sentence as confidence, Christ and God. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. This one sentence tells us at least three things. First, the Apostle Paul is confident. And second, his confidence comes from Christ. And third, his confidence comes from Christ toward God. I'll repeat that in case you are taking some notes. First, the Apostle Paul is confident. And second, his confidence comes from Christ. And third, his confidence comes from Christ toward God. Let's talk about this for a few moments, shall we? Paul is confident. And those of you who have read Paul throughout the New Testament have no problem believing this about him. He thinks with confidence. He acts with confidence. He speaks with confidence. And he writes with confidence. I believe he was the most confident of all the apostles. Yes, even more confident than Peter. And we will soon get to Peter, by the way. This confidence that Jesus gave Paul enabled him to press on in ministry and to never, ever give up despite stiff resistance, oppression, imprisonment, and ultimately martyrdom. Paul was brutally murdered because of his faith in Jesus Christ and proclamation, his preaching, his teaching of the gospel of God. But note that he was confident, second, through Christ. That is what 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says. The confidence Paul had came through Christ. Paul's confidence was not a self-confidence. God had already beaten that out of him. You see, if you know Paul's life story, then you know that he was once a man named Saul who persecuted and tortured followers of Jesus. He labored to destroy the church. He was a staunch enemy of God. Let me give you a little reading assignment here, particularly if you do not know much about this man, Paul. Later today or tonight, get a hold of a Bible or read the Bible online in Acts chapters 8 and 9. That is the book of Acts, the fifth book of the second part of the Bible called the New Testament, Acts. And when you get there, read two chapters, 8 and 9. That will tell you a lot about how God humbled Saul, whose name was then Paul. As God humbles Paul, God gives Jesus to Paul as a gift of his grace. And the Lord Jesus tutors Paul, instructs Paul, and commands Paul to be confident through Christ himself. And third, as unto or toward God. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Who is the object of the confidence? God is. God is the object of the confidence. The same is true of those of us who believe by faith in Jesus Christ. We're Christians, and we are confident Christians. But who makes us so confident? Jesus does. And what is the object of our confidence? Who are we to be confident for? God is. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. God is our audience. God is the one we demonstrate Christ's confidence for. We are confident in order to praise God, honor God, exalt God, not ourselves. If we praise, honor, and exalt ourselves, then we are being very, very prideful. And God hates pride, as we saw yesterday as we search the scriptures. So here we have three insights into 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. Now let's move down to the next verse, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God." Oh, how I love this verse. I love this verse. Paul has a timely message here for us. We cannot be adequate, or we are not competent in ourselves. As Christians, we do not consider ourselves in our own competency, in our own strength as being anything. Rather, we recognize that our adequacy is from God Himself. Paul was not adequate, not confident in his own ability, gifts, or education. His adequacy, his confidence came from God. We have to understand this about confidence. Only God can make us confident to do what He gives us to do, because only God makes us adequate to fulfill our calling from Him. Only God can make us confident to do what He gives us to do, because only God makes us adequate to fulfill our calling from Him. So where did I learn that confidence is reliance on Jesus Christ? I learned it from the Apostle Paul. And why do I say that by confidence I do not mean self-confidence, which is really only pride? I learned it from the Apostle Paul, right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And when you come back tomorrow, which I certainly hope you will, we'll learn a lot more about the reality that our confidence comes to us from God, or we find our confidence in God. And so we'll talk a lot more about this tomorrow, right here on God Is.